following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Welcome, Refuge Family, to another Refuge Daily. Pastor Jonathan here, and we're going to continue through the Sermon on the Mount as we're still in the Beatitudes and what I like to call the best sermon ever, that sermon from Jesus, that wonderful message giving us the keys to the kingdom of God. So let's pray. Lord, as you would reveal yourself to us, may each and every one of us experience you and find you and to know you so much more. As we open up this passage here, talking about mercy, may you be lifted high and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, think about a time where somebody has said something untrue about you. Gossip is a big problem. We all have faced that struggle, both with people gossiping about us and, I guarantee, us gossiping about other people. Now, think about when you found out that somebody has spread some gossip about you that was untrue. How did you react? Did you confront them? Did you ignore it? Or did you kind of try and think of something a little bit worse to say about them? Now, imagine, maybe this has happened or maybe it hasn't, but imagine that they apologize for what they've said. How do you react at that point? Do you accept their apology with no strings attached? Or is it something that's a little harder to let go of and you really struggle at that point? Maybe you let it go, but you thank them for their apology, but you hold a grudge the size of the Grand Canyon. Well, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, again, is talking about mercy. We're going to focus on two different ways to define mercy, okay? One definition of mercy is forgiveness, is the ability to show forgiveness, not just accepting somebody's apology, but also choosing to actively forgive them and to not hold a grudge against that person. Now, mercy can also be defined as taking love to the next level. It's easy to love people who love us back, but mercy will take it a step further. Mercy shows love to everyone, even if we think they don't deserve it. All right? Now, we're supposed to be merciful towards others, but what exactly do we need to do to be merciful? We've already talked about not holding grudges and loving the unlovable. Now, let's think about some of these passages. Let's look at some of the verses that can help us see the importance of mercy and some ways that we can show it. We're going to take a look at one of my favorite parables. It's found in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 25. In this passage here, Peter has asked Jesus about forgiveness. He's asking how much forgiveness one person should be allowed. And Jesus gives an answer by telling the story. Verse 21, Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Now, it could also be 70 times seven. Either way, we get the point. Peter was really honestly being quite merciful and benevolent when offering mercy seven times, because the Jewish rabbi said three was all you had to do. It's that whole strike three, you're out kind of mentality. Even if they didn't have baseball back then, they still apparently believed in three strikes and you're out. But Peter's offer of seven is like, well, let's take what the Jewish rabbi said and double it. And then that's pretty close to seven, which is a number of completion. So maybe seven times, Jesus. And Jesus takes it so much deeper, 77 times or 70 times seven. What he means is, you're going to lose count. You're going to lose track. How many times should you forgive your brother? Continually. And then he tells this parable to illustrate the point, starting in verse 23. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." And when you look at this, this servant, for whatever reason, got into a major debt with his king, with his master. and they couldn't pay it back. But look at verse 27, okay? The servant's master took pity on him. Okay, that pity, that's not, typically we think of pity, it's like, I want your pity, right? That attitude is more like, oh, I'm so sorry, but right? We always have this attitude, if someone shows pity to us, it's a bad thing. But pity is genuine sympathetic sorrow, okay, that leads to a desire to show mercy. Okay? It's genuine sympathetic sorrow. Now, did the servant deserve the king's merciful reaction? No, he owed a major debt and deserved that the only thing he deserved was that he had to pay it back. But let's focus on the second half of this passage. In verse 28, it says this, but when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. We're talking 10,000 bags of gold, 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me. I'll pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. What's going on in these verses? You know, the difference between the way the king treated his servant and how that servant treated someone else. Now, did this first servant treat the second servant with the mercy that he was shown? Not at all. The servant's reaction was a reaction out of anger and judgment and demanding righteousness when he himself, if he had received righteousness, would have been sold into prison. It was the way that you pay your debt. You would work and you pay your debt off. Well, this is not the same kind of reaction that he had been shown. Now, focus on the final verses in this passage, starting in verse 31. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Now the king is extremely angry with the servant now because the king had showed mercy, had offered forgiveness, but this person failed to offer that same forgiveness to a fellow servant. You know, God looks upon us and how we treat others who have hurt us, others that owe a debt to us. How do we treat them? Do we treat them with mercy, with the same mercy that we have been shown from the Father? Of course not. We can't. But do we try? That's the key, right? We can never show the same mercy that the Father has shown to us. But what we can do is show whatever kind of mercy we are able to show in order to show that love and that forgiveness. Jesus compares the king's response to what the Father himself will do for us. If we choose not to forgive others, it shows that we have not had a change of heart, that we truly have not experienced the grace and mercy and forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. Now listen, I understand it can be extremely difficult sometimes to forgive people who have hurt us. I can understand the pain and the difficulty of letting go. But the sins that we have committed against our Heavenly Father are so much greater than the sins that have been committed against us. We're sinners, and so is everyone else. So when someone sins against us, in some ways, we're getting what we deserve. As a sinner, we deserve judgment. But the Father, when we have sinned against God Himself, a holy and righteous and pure and perfect judge, He's done nothing to deserve what we have done when we have sinned against Him. And yet He offers us that forgiveness. We need to be willing to offer it to others. Matthew chapter 6, back in the Sermon on the Mount, a little bit later, but back in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And think about what that means. That if we don't forgive, why should we expect the Father to forgive us? Now, this is not in any way saying that we must do something in order to be saved. But the attitude that we should have is this, that we're not willing to forgive other people, it's going to affect our relationship with the Father. And we need to make it right with the people who have sinned against us and who have hurt us. We need to make it right with them before we can go and try and repair any kind of broken relationship we have with our Father. Again, this is not saying that you have to go and make amends with everybody and before you can be saved. But when you hear, when you know that somebody has done something against you and you think about them and you're like, no, I need to forgive them, and you choose not to, you are actively in sin against the Father, who commands us to forgive each other. And God will not forgive that sin until we forgive those who have hurt us. Quite an important thing. It's pretty heavy when we think about how important forgiveness genuinely is in our lives. Now, how can we show this mercy to others, even when they don't deserve it? Okay? How can we show love to them and their mercy? First, we can pray for them. In James 5:16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, this verse is telling us that we should be praying for other people, including people who have hurt us. We should confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that we can be healed, that we can be restored, that we can be made whole. So if we're praying for others, even the people who are not easy to like, we're showing them mercy. We're showing them a grace and a mercy that they don't deserve. Secondly, we can speak kindly and truthfully about other people. In Proverbs 25:18, it says, like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is one who gives false testimony against a neighbor. Now, this verse is comparing lying or gossiping about somebody as similar to wounding them with a sword. It's pretty scary to think about how easy it is for our words to speak these lies and gossip, but really, our words can cut deep, and those wounds can sometimes take longer to heal than a physical wound or a cut. I know people who've been wounded by the sword of words. I've experienced it myself. And we need to learn to offer that mercy and forgiveness. And finally, we need to be merciful to those who have hurt us. Proverbs 19:11 says, a person's wisdom yields patience, and it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. It is to our glory and the Lord's glory if we are able to overlook offenses. When somebody has hurt us, to be able to turn and say, I'm going to let that go. Or say, I forgive you for what you have done. So, should we just restrain our anger in all situations and not respond at all if somebody has spread a terrible rumor about us? There's nothing wrong with going to the person, speaking to them. In fact, we should go to the person and confront them on the issue. But if they are hard-hearted and stubborn with it, it is not our place to speak evil about them. Let your righteousness so shine that when people speak evil of you, it's clear that they're making it all up. We need to overlook wrongs. We need to let go of those pains, because that's a way of showing mercy. We could respond in kind, but we're choosing to let it go. These are just a few ways that we can be merciful. These are a few ways that God has revealed to us that we can show that mercy to others so that we can receive mercy back. Remember, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God bless you guys, and we'll see you next time. Join us tomorrow for another Refuge Daily. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.